Hi, hello everybody, and a very hearty Omaha to you wherever you may be. I am your host of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, Logan Loganity Morris. This is episode 2, titled Daytona Daydream. And again, if you're going to have a host, as I said last week, then you got to have a co-host. So that means it's time to bring in the best man, our senior open wheel extraordinaire, a man with a dapper beard and dapper hair. My goodness, he just wakes up and rolls out of bed just fine. Look at him, just so handsome. Colin Best, in the words of our founder, how the hell are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Logan, and to everyone else on the Racing Refresh team, hello. Happy Daytona week to everybody, and happy Daytona week to everyone watching, wherever you may be. Pull up a chair. Stay a while.
Yes, indeed. Pull up a chair and stay a while. That's my life, really, from chair to chair. You know, see the shiny sea, chair to chair. Anywho, look, we're the host, we're the talent, which means you can't trust us worth a flip of a wooden nickel. That means you need a show creator to keep you on track, our show creator, our social media extraordinaire, of course, at least on Twitter. I'm talking about our favorite Canadian, Adam Carabine. Adam, come on in here, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Thanks, Logan. Did you get yourself a haircut there, Logan? You're looking very sharp.
Hey, it looks very dapper.
Well, that leads me to my next segue, and I'm not talking about those things you scoot on down the street. You want to know who cut my hair? Do you want to know?
I'd like to know, yeah.
All right. Well, I'll be doggone. She is a woman of many, many talents. She's the producer. She's the graphic maker. She's the best-looking individual on this show, bar none. Of course, I'm talking about producer Peggy. I call her Peter, and yes, she does run a barber school in her spare time. Peter, how are you?
I'm
speechless.
I'm speechless.
At the compliments of the haircut. Do you think you did a pretty good job there?
It's probably not my best work, considering you had to call me the next day and say, "Hey, you missed a big spot."
That's true. I was going to leave that between you and I. There's some conversations that are just private. But that's all right.
I'll have to look you up there, Peggy, next time I'm in Ohio. Might need a trim myself. So.
Anywho, it might take her two or three times or two or three takes, if you will. But she'll get you lined up looking real spiffy. I got plenty of compliments Saturday when I was working a wrestling show. Anywho, we got to talk some racing. We only have an hour here. I can't wax proac about my great haircut. I'm just trying to catch up to Colin. Look at this. Look at the spoof on that. Look at that. Just all natural, baby. Anywho, Adam, Peggy, I'll see you in just a little bit. Me and Colin are going to break this thing down one good time for you, and we'll talk shortly. All right, Mr. Best Man, it's just always great to be back with you, young man. Haven't we done this a time or 40?
Feels like we've been doing this for a couple of years, but just like me with my significant other in the other room, every day is like day one with you, Logan. It's truly a pleasure to do a show with you.
Day one. I like it a whole heck of a lot, buddy. Every day, like day one. I'll tell you what, we are a better love story, and our producer is going to love this. We are a better love story than Twilight. Wouldn't you agree?
I would say that. Yeah, that's fair.
Were you a Team Jacob guy, or you know, were you Edward?
I'll be honest with you. I didn't read any of the books. I didn't see any of the movies. I saw the spoof movie they made about it. That was my introduction to the Twilight Saga.
Well, we'll talk Twilight some other time during a special Racing Refresh Happy Hour episode. For now, we're going to throw to some Happy Hour headlines. My goodness. Again, she can cut hair and make graphics. She's a keeper, folks. There's only one producer, Peg, I promise you. So, Jimmy Johnson's going to run the Chicago Street Course. Of course, that news broke during the clash. We didn't get a chance to really discuss it a whole lot last week. So he's going to run the Chicago Street Course, and the rumors are he's going to run, you know, 10 races maybe for Legacy Motor Club as a whole. And then we go to your neck of the woods as far as motorsports goes. He's got some interest in some IndyCar stuff, the Indy 500 and potentially another oval or two. What do you think of Jimmy Johnson running the street course? And then, you know, how many races do you think he might run for Legacy Motor Club? And do you think we see him back in IndyCar for the 500 or any other oval? Take it away there, a lot to unpack.
I think 10 races is a little bit too much for Jimmy Johnson, especially with everything else he has planned, especially towards the summer months when he will be one of the three drivers on the Garage 56 program that NASCAR is going to be doing for the 24-hour of Le Mans. He's going to be doing a lot of things. When I look at Jimmy Johnson and what he's planning on doing, I think it's admirable that he's coming back for the 500. That adds the star power that is on that roster list with the NASCAR, you know, the full-timers, the people who are coming to the 500 for the first time trying to make it. We'll talk about that during a little bit later. Keep you around for the Daytona 500 preview. But, I mean, to be honest, I look at the NASCAR schedule and where would Jimmy Johnson run. Certainly Daytona, that's a given. Chicago, he's already announced that. But then you start looking down at, like, North Wilkesboro. He's never raced there. Him being in the All-Star race, I think that would – because he is a champion and he attempts to get it, that would give him the champion's provisional, which means he would be in the All-Star race when they return to North Wilkesboro. I think going to Atlanta, the new Atlanta, so he can actually get a feel for what's going on. Probably some road course events to get ready. For the Garage 56 entry before the Rolex 24. It's certainly nice to see him back, especially with you, Logan. You're a petty guy, now a Legacy Motor Club guy. I think having Jimmy Johnson around in that team really helps Eric Jones and Noah Gragson develop into the drivers that they could become. There's probably no better driver to learn from than Jimmy Johnson when it comes to NASCAR. So for me, I expect maybe 5 or 6 races. He may do the Indy 500 double. That certainly will be seen later as IndyCar season rapidly approaches. But I'm looking forward to having Johnson back. I think this is a really, really good move for the sport as a whole.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think Jimmy Johnson's going to do, I don't know if he's going to do 10. We'll see. You know, I don't have any official prediction on that, but obviously he's going to do Daytona. We know that. We're going to talk about that in depth in just a moment. Chicago Street Course is cool. I think he's going to hit those big ticket items. I think you might see him at Darlington, you know, the Crown Jewels, the Coke 600. Of course, he was great at Charlotte for all those years. I think we'll probably see him at Dover. He was great there they should pretty much rename the track after him, if we're being honest. I think he's going to slide in here and there, pick a spot where he thinks he can, sort of like we see with Dale Jr. nowadays. He runs races that he feels like he's got a shot to win, or that are very important to him. So, yeah, I think we'll see that. Time will tell. We'll keep you updated right here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour as far as what Jimmy Johnson does end up running. All right, notable news coming out last week. Todd Gilliland is getting the boot out of his ride at Front Row Motorsports for 6 races, and Zane Smith is going to take that seat. Of course, Zane Smith has got an entry for the 500, but now we get the news that Todd Gilliland is going to be sharing that ride part-time, a la Mark Martin, Eric Almirola style. That's throwing in the Wayback Machine. You know, Zane Smith, of course, your 2022 Truck Series champion. Of course, at that point, it was Camping World. Now it's going to be Craftsman again, so hit you right in those nostalgia feels. Colin, what are your thoughts on Gilliland getting the boot?
You know, I was very surprised, especially this came before the clash, like right before the clash or right after the clash, one of the two. But it was within the last 8 days or so that we learned about this news, and surprising to me that Todd Gilliland necessarily didn't have the best first year in the Cup Series than anyone's ever had, certainly, but he's had great moments, especially at last year's Indianapolis Road Course when he finished in the top five. I think he has talent. I unfortunately believe that he's with a team that doesn't bring the best cars to the racetrack every single week. But it's very surprising that, you know, I thought he would have gotten the full-time ride. Now, it's understanding that Zane Smith is this new talent who just came off a Truck Series championship. But making the jump from Truck Series to Cup Series is a very big jump, especially without having really any time in the Xfinity Series. For Zane to get his feet wet at the Cup Series level, this is not going to be easy for him. It was really weird to me. I can't remember a team or a news release or a driver right before on the precipice of a season beginning announces that he's no longer going to be a full-time guy. He still gets 30 races. That's, I guess, a consolation prize. But after Gilliland had so much to work on and improve, having him have a second full-time season, I think would have given him confidence. And that confidence is going to be a little bit shaken in his car at Front Row Motorsports. So I guess it'll be a race to see who does better in the six races. That if Zane Smith does better in six races than Todd Gilliland does in 30, I don't think we'll be about Todd Gilliland during the 2024 season.
Well, again, it's interesting. Of course, Front Row is well known to be arguably the last team to make the work their driver announcements and crew chief announcements. They're well known for that. They wait until very late in the year, sometimes into the next calendar year, to make their announcements official. Todd Gilliland, of course, two top tens, one top five. The only thing that in modern history I can kind of think of, I know I mentioned the Martin Almirola part-time ride when Martin was bouncing back and forth in retirement. Matt Kenseth, you recall, it was the middle of the year, and Matt Kenseth got the call from the Cat in the Hat, Jack Roush. It was then Roush Fenway Racing, and he ended up splitting the six with Trevor Bayne. It was pretty random and kind of came out of nowhere. That's about as close as I can kind of come as far as modern history goes in the more modern era. And I don't mean in the sense of 72, but just for our younger fans like Adam and producer Peggy, for that matter, to remember, randomly, Matt Kenseth ended up sharing that sixth ride with Trevor Bayne. You recall that, of course. All right, we'll see what happens with Todd Gilliland. I know he's trying to find, he's trying to find a way to fill those six races he's now going to miss for Front Row. So we'll see if he gets a shot there somehow or another. NASCAR is considered a New York City area race. Formula E does have a race in Brooklyn, so that's something to think about. And then finally, Toyota is hoping to add more NASCAR teams in 2024. And there were rumors that Trackhouse might be interested or a possibility, but Justin Marks came out this past week and made it very clear they're not interested. They're sticking with their hot dogs, apple pie, and yes, of course, Chevrolet. What are your thoughts on more Toyota teams in 2024? And if Trackhouse truly is not interested, as they appear to be, then who do you think might be on the bubble to kind of change manufacturers?
Yeah, I think Trackhouse has more to win if they stay with Chevrolet as they do if they left to Ford or Toyota, mostly because the fact that Trackhouse has done more in 2 years than 2311 Racing has in those 2 years, since they debuted pretty much at the same time. If they left right now, in terms of Chevy teams, you have the Ford Hendrick, you have the Ford SHR, then you have Trackhouse and RCR, and those are your basic Chevy teams. And they all, have speed to win on any single given week. outside of that, you have the Rick Wares of the world and stuff like that for Ford. And then for Chevy would be the JTD Doherty Racing, who over the past couple of years have had, you know, rumors that they were going to close down their shop, that they weren't going to be around any longer. You know, having Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in the car hasn't lived up to some expectations that they set and so forth. And to be honest, they would be the most logical team to make that jump from Chevrolet to Toyota. Right now, if they were stay with Chevy, they'd be 13th, 14th on the food chain, where if they jumped to Toyota, they'd be 8th. They'd be right behind 2311, and Toyota would be interested in giving money to that team in order to survive. So for me, it would be a no-brainer for them, for Doherty to stay in the field as long as they possibly can. And I think the Cup Series needs that, especially with, you know, 36 guaranteed entries. Having them as one of those charter teams, I think, helps the sport, the growth and the health of the series. Having more Toyota teams interests me, but in the rumor mill that every NASCAR silly season as we get to July and August, is we always talk about new manufacturers entering the sport. There's a lot of, especially around motorsports, you know, Cadillac maybe coming to F1. Dodge doesn't have any interest in coming to NASCAR as far as I can tell from the dirt sheets. And I'll take a wrestling term to put it to NASCAR. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Honda wants to make the jump into the Cup Series. Nissan wants to make the jump. BMW, there was rumor that they could jump in. So this could either give Toyota more strength, or this could be the opportunity for a new manufacturer as a whole to enter the sport as well.
Well, I think a new manufacturer in the sport would be great. Hoping to see it. As far as Toyota goes, I agree with you. JTG has got to be on the list of, you know, it's pretty much no secret they're struggling, you know, to what degree, to what extent, we don't exactly know. I think they very well could switch manufacturers to potentially Toyota or a new manufacturer, because right now they're just, you went great in depth. They're just struggling with all the changes that Legacy Motor Club is making. You wouldn't think so that they're a possibility, but again, on the other side of that coin, with all the changes they're making, maybe that's something else that they're considering, because they're obviously a team in transition right now. Anything else? Hard to see, but you never say never in this sport. And we've seen so many topsy-turvy turns and things you didn't think you would see happening. I mean, remember when the idea of Michael Jordan coming into the sport was laughable or just a crazy rumor? Well, that happened. So never say never with this sport. There's another wrestling term for you, Colin. So who knows? It's going to be very interesting to see how all that shakes out in terms of the manufacturers. We, of course, will keep our eye on it and keep you up to date. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what happens. So there's a reason that we ask a lot of questions around here. It's because we believe that there are no stupid questions. And so when we have no stupid questions, well, there's only one guy that can help solve all these questions and more. And that, of course, is our show creator, Adam Carabine. Adam, come on in here. We're a believer in no stupid questions. And so you're getting ready to educate us on something else. You know, we're doing a lot of looking ahead on what Toyota may or may not do. So speaking of looking ahead, what are you going to talk about this week on your lovely segment, No Stupid Questions?
Well, why don't we throw up the intro to No Stupid Questions here and
get right to it.
There we go.
That's big league right there.
It's very fancy. Welcome to another edition of No Stupid Questions. This is the segment where I answer some of your questions that maybe you've been embarrassed to not know or fully understand. And if you'd like to ask a question for future episodes, you can always reach out to me on Twitter. I'll do the legwork and let you know the best answer I can find. So this week, we actually have two kind of smaller questions to answer. First up is going to be the NASCAR restart zone rule, which changed for this year, at least for the first five races. It's a trial new rule. After the fifth race of the year, which is Atlanta, NASCAR is going to reevaluate things and see if they want to move forward with this change. But yeah, basically, I had someone ask me what are the impacts of this change of rule. So if you consider a normal NASCAR restart, you have cars lined up too wide, including the front row. However, only one of those cars is the control car. So in other words, that car is the one who scored in first place. And that car gets to decide anywhere within the restart zone to essentially put the pedal to the metal and get back up to race speed. It's a little bit of a game of like cat and mouse between the two drivers on the front row, because if the non-control car gets into the gas too soon, they can actually be penalized for jumping the restart. Before this year, the restart zone was not super wide or long. So the driver of the control car didn't really get a whole lot of strategy to work with, but this year, at least for the first five races, NASCAR has made that restart zone 50% larger. And so what that means is that's going to give drivers a few more options to decide what to do for restarts. They are that control car, which in theory should give a bit more of an advantage to that leader of the race at that point. So it should be interesting. I think it'll be interesting. I don't know. We'll see if NASCAR agrees after the first five races. The second question I had this week had to do with the headlights or lack thereof on the cars. When you look at the front of these cars, you'll see what looks like headlights, but really it's just part of the car wrap. It's all actually just a giant sticker. Peyton, I think we have a picture of Christopher Bell at Phoenix. Yeah, I put some nice little circles on there for you. So they look like headlights, but they are not actually headlights. They don't work. And it's just a sticker. So the question, I guess, was more like, why do we even have those? And as with most reasons that NASCAR changes anything about the cars themselves, safety is always a top priority. So way back in the day when the cars were a little more stock than they are now, they came with headlights. We actually have a picture as well of this one. This is just for Logan, an old petty 43. Yeah, you'll see there in the front there. There is a spot for headlights. I was looking at this closer, and I think the headlights have been removed from this car, but it's hard to tell. Anyways, because the cars were more stock than they are now, they came with headlights, or at least a spot for the headlights. Imagine just even like any sort of small on-track incident, though, involving a few cars or even just a single car and the wall. You're going to get glass sprinkled all over the track from a broken headlight. That can pose a major safety risk, not to mention the amount of time that cleanup would take after even the smallest of incidents. So I guess in the interest of keeping the cars looking stock, but continuing to keep drivers, fans, officials, etc., all as safe as possible, the headlight became a decal, or as my American friends prefer to pronounce it, a decal. So there you go. That's a little quick summary of the new restart zone for 2023. And NASCAR headlights. So remember to send your no stupid questions to me on Twitter. I'll be back next week with more. And remember, there are no stupid questions.
Hey, man, we're a believer in that here at Racing Refresh. No question about it. Love your John Madden tribute with the circles on the headlights. That was fantastic. We miss you, John. And I of course, love that you used the Petty 43. That, of course, made the cockles of my heart beat just a little quicker. And with as much caffeine as I consume daily, that's not really necessary, but we appreciate it anyway. So great, great segment, Adam. Again, submit those questions to Adam for No Stupid Questions each week on Twitter, at Racing Refresh, and give him a follow, and he'll update you on everything we're doing. So again, submit them at Racing Refresh. There are no stupid questions. Believe me, I ask Adam quite a few of those. Anywho, let's get back to work here. Let's go with a little bit of a, it's time to preview Daytona. Peter, hit us with our race preview. I feel like we're playing Mario or Donkey Kong or something, you know, a little Super Smash Brothers back in the day. God, that was fun on the old GameCube. Anywho, of course, let's talk about the Daytona 500. Colin, the time is finally here. Those stage breaks, 65, 130, and of course going to end at a lap 200, at least scheduled. You never know about overtime, period, but especially at a super speedway like Daytona. All right, the fuel window, likely 38 to 42 laps. Look, our boy Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, of course, he's a popular man in that fire suit, that's for sure. And producer Peggy's favorite, Ryan Blaney. Those are your co-favorites to win. So, Colin, before we talk about the open cars, the charters, and all that, Daytona's finally here. We are just mere hours, mere days. It's finally here. Happy Speed Weeks. What are your thoughts?
So this is, you know, we just had the Super Bowl on Sunday night. NFL ends their season with a bang. Well, we start one in NASCAR. We start with our biggest event that we always look forward to. And the NASCAR's offseason seems so long, but in reality, it's so short. It's only 2 months long, and we're right back into it. This is probably one of the most star-studded Daytona 500s that we've ever had. The return of Jimmy Johnson to Travis Pastrana potentially making the field, to, you know, the expectations of Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin and Ryan Blaney, and can Austin Cindric go back to back? There's so many storylines, so many things that we're going to talk about as this is airing. Qualifying is happening for the Daytona 500, so, you know, we are going to be, the Speed Weeks is here. I wish it was longer. I wish we had the clash back at Daytona, but, you know, we don't have that. So this is what we got. This is the whole off season. The butterflies are coming in. The jitters are going to finally go away. And at Sunday at 2:30 Eastern, 1 o'clock Central Time, for Adam, it's actually going to be like 10 o'clock in the morning because he's a Canuck over on the West Coast. Boo. But hey, it's Daytona 500, baby. We're kicking off and we'll have racing every week for the next 39 weeks. And I'm so excited for that.
I believe back in, say, the King's Day, they kicked off some of those Coke 600 around, you know, it, of course, with the World 600 in those days, they kicked them off around 10, 11 a.m. So before the advent, of course, of night racing and all those sort of things. So Colin, Adam keeps it old school, a little nostalgia based. He has his coffee and scrambled eggs, and we call it ham around here. Canadian bacon, yep, is just ham. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about the open cars. Of course, you got Chandler Smith going to run for colleague racing. Zane Smith going to run front row, and that's not a Todd Gilliland affected race. They're running the third entry. Connor Daly going to run for the money team. That is Floyd Mayweather. Austin Hill at Build Motorsports. That's Brandon Gaughan and the folks there. Travis Pastrana, you mentioned it, for 2311. Jimmy Johnson going to try to enter in, of course, for Legacy Motor Club. All right, so guess what? I mentioned all those cars. Only four of them are going to make it. So two are going home. Two are going home. So let's bring Adam Carabine back in here. Come on in, Adam. Show creator, hope you're ready. sorry if you were getting a beverage right there. So let's talk about it. Two are going home. I just gave you the list of the people that are in the open entries. Look, there's a world here, folks, where Travis Pastrana and Jimmy Johnson don't make the 500. I never thought we'd say that, but that's the world we're in right now. So I want your predictions. I'm going to start with Mr. Carabine. What two cars are going home pretty unhappy?
It's a tough choice. It's actually a pretty good field. There are, you know, some years when it's pretty clear, you know, the real back markers are the only ones who aren't going to make it. But there's some stiff competition for these four spots. I think if I had to choose, I'm looking at Connor Daly, unfortunately, just because we haven't seen the money team at all in the Cup Series or really anywhere. And so, you know, this is really just going to be their first try at doing anything in NASCAR.
I got to correct you. Kaz Grala last year.
Oh, you are so right. I'm sorry. Yes. Kaz Grala. Well, at least Kaz Grala.
No
was,
love for Kaz.
I know. Sorry, Kaz. I apologize. at least for Kaz Grala though, like he had previously driven a NASCAR, you know, in various series, he's driven in Cup before as well. So, I mean, I know it's a new car and hopefully, you know, in theory, it's supposed to be easier for these kind of lower level teams to make things and get in there. But I think I'm saying Connor Daly is not going to make it. That's my first pick. And my second one, you know, I almost should call myself Loganity Jr. here. This is a bit of a Loganity hot take. I think Travis Pastrana is going to miss the Daytona 500. He hasn't driven a cup car in who knows how long. It's been a long time.
We need Junior over here.
Well, you know, I just aspire to be just like you, Logan. He hasn't driven a cup car in a long time. And, you know, it's they're not going to get any practice before they qualify for these duels. And so likely that's going to be his practice, is his qualifying run. And so I imagine it's not going to go super well. And that's no offense to him. It's just, you know, a brand new shifting. It's brand new everything for him. And fair enough. So if he starts near the back of the duels, he may have trouble making his way forward. And then making it into the big show. So my picks, I'm going to say Connor Daly and Travis Pastrana, but you know what? I don't know anything, so don't listen to me. Well, why don't we throw it to Colin and see what the expert has to say.
Colin, what say you, my friend? Two cars going home.
I'm going to say Chandler Smith and Zane Smith don't make it to the 500. I look at Connor Daly. He has oval experience. Yes, it's in an Indy car, but he does have oval experience, and I think that carries somewhat into the Daytona 500. Austin Hill is a very good super speedway racer. He did win in Daytona last year when the Xfinity Series opened up, and then he went on to win both Atlanta races during the Xfinity Series. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think he did also win a Talladega race last year in the Xfinity Series. So he went 4-for-4 on super speedway races last year in the Xfinity Series. It's kind of a no-brainer that he will make it. I think Travis Pastrana will make it because the gearbox in his one of his rally cars uses the same transmission as the cup car, where it's a sequential shift. There is no H pattern in rally car, and they don't do paddles either. And then Jimmy Johnson, he's a veteran. He's a two-time Daytona 500 winner. If anyone's going to follow, if any one of these three people, because I assume they're going to be split up three per duel, any of these guys are going to follow Jimmy Johnson to the front. And if Pastrana does make the 500, he is entered into the Truck Series race on Friday night. So that being said, he will have track time at Daytona leading into it, albeit the Truck Series, but he'll get the gist of how super speedway racing works. He does have Denny Hamlin and Bubba Wallace to lean on, to one of the two of the best super speedway racers that the Cup Series has. So I'm going to go Chandler Smith, who in his first Cup start will not make the 500, and Zane Smith, making his first Cup start, potentially won't make the 500 as well.
Look, I think you gentlemen both make great points. This field is stacked. You can make an argument for any of these guys making or missing. You don't usually have that, Adam. You alluded to it earlier, but I got to chime in here. I'm going to go. Connor Daly's going to miss it as well. I agree with Adam on that. I just feel like they probably don't have the funding or support needed to really get good. And plus, they'll be on an island all their own. I mean, the money team is just the money team, where all can decide. Let's assume that Jimmy Johnson's going to have some help from a Legacy Motor Club car. I would heavily assume that. And, of course, like you said, two-time Daytona 500 winner. But in the next, I got to think that Chandler Smith is going to miss it as well. So I'm going to steal from both of you. I think Zane Smith gets in because, look, if there's one thing Front Row can do, it's build a super speedway car. That Front Row's proven that. Michael McDowell is always something to reckon with at any super speedway. But so, yeah, I'm going to go Chandler Smith and Connor Daly. I think they miss it. I just can't see a world where Jimmy Johnson, with all this hype, doesn't make it. I mean, think about the letdown that would be for Legacy Motor Club and really the entire sport. Because all the talk this offseason has been Jimmy Johnson's back and he misses the 500. I mean, you're talking a major swing and a miss, worse than Jimmy's Indy career. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I mean, it would just be such a – it would be such a letdown. So, yeah, that's who I'm going to take. Connor Daly and Chandler Smith, I think they're both going home pretty unhappy. Chandler's going to have his day. The money team is going to be more involved this year, reportedly 6 or 7 races. So we'll see. And you both make an interesting point, and then we'll move on, about the lack of practice time. I know Denny Hamlin is very upset at that and very baffled at that. Of course, he's got a dog in the hunt with Travis Pastrana. He went in full detail of his frustration on his podcast, Actions Detrimental for Dirty Mo Media. Anywho, Adam, we'll see in just a moment again. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see who makes it, who doesn't. So we talked now fully about who's going to make it, who's going to not. We all have our two that are going to go home an unhappy, grumpy, throwing things at the holler, slamming some wrenches. You get my point. But what other storylines are we going to watch besides the open cars? We know that Kyle Busch and Joey Logano are off on the right foot this season, and I'm being very facetious when I say that term, Colin. Already, Joey Logano has been called two-faced by Kyle Busch. Didn't take long for that to creep back in. Kyle Busch has been pretty well-behaved lately. He's been oddly cheery. It's like he's watching old Barney episodes. But a little bit of his old rowdy self has kind of crept out this week with the, again, pretty much calling Joey Logano out on NASCAR Sirius XM radio. So do you think we could see another moment between these two at Daytona? Or is that something that's going to marinate? And then I'll hit you with another storyline I think we should keep an eye on.
Yes and no. Would one of them leave or hang each other out, you know, trying to advance their position and leaving someone out high to dry in a line that doesn't have any help? Absolutely, they would. There's too much manufacturer support that we see in super speedway races now. Chevys work with the Chevys, the Fords are together, and the Toyotas are together. I can see many things, but I don't think they're going to wreck each other. It's Daytona. And there's also, you know, reports that, you know, a car going back into the fence is still not as soft as it's still just as hard, if not harder, than it was last year. Denny Hamlin mentioned that on his podcast as well. So I think there's going to be bad blood. I don't think it would carry over into the 500 just because the speeds are too fast, and we don't usually see people wreck someone at Daytona on purpose. That'll carry more over into next week when the series goes to Auto Club. But certainly, if push came to shove on the final lap, I don't think Kyle or Logano are going to push each other to a win if they could help it.
And I'll tell you another storyline to watch, because it of course was arguably the feud of the year last year, and it continued right into 2023, because new year, same old me is what NASCAR likes to say. Denny Hamlin versus Ross Chastain. I mean, again, they had some issues at the Clash. They seem to have almost sensors on one another. They find each other through hell or high water, wind, rain, sleet, or snow. They're going to be there. Could we see, obviously, Denny Hamlin is, I think it's without question, the best super speedway racer in the sport right now. I mean, he's going to go down with the Earnharts and Petty and Pearson and a host of others as far as super speedway greats. Could you see Ross Chastain kind of doing his thing, and Ross Chastain and Denny Hamlin to make sure Denny Hamlin doesn't get that what would it be, the fourth Daytona 500 victory for Denny Hamlin?
Mm-hmm. I think Ross Chastain will be on the Don't Give a Blank tour for everybody in 2023, knowing that he will do it. I mean, he came up, he was in a championship four and came up 2 spots short. So he'll do whatever it takes to win. Like I said, with Busch and Logano, I don't think anyone will wreck anybody on purpose, that quote unquote on purpose. Because of the speeds these guys are going and how rigid the car still is. But like I said, you know, they're not going to give each other space. They're not going to let someone, if Logano, if Hamlin needs to come down in line. I don't think Chastain's going to blip the throttle any to let him in line, and vice versa with Hamlin. But, you know, it's a storyline that we're going to have to watch throughout the rest of the year, especially when we go to, like, Martinsville or Bristol Dirt or someplace like that, to really find out if that feud has died down or it's, you know, just picking up right where I left off. But it's just – I feel like it's just too – if something like that happens, it'll turn into a Brad Keselowski Twitter session when he saw Gordon wreck Boyer. Do you remember at Phoenix? And at a post-race press conference, he was like, you know, I just got called like I had a death wish, and then I see people try to kill each other out on the speedway. You know, that's what it would turn into. It would be at NASCAR's brightest and highest stage that we go to all season, having guys intentionally wreck each other at the Daytona 500, I think is a very bad look for the sport as a whole.
I got to agree with you 100%. Of course, other storylines we have to keep an eye on. Austin Dillon and Bubba Wallace had some issues at the Clash. Of course, they both very well could be in contention to win this race. We know Dillon has had success at Daytona, as has Bubba Wallace Jr., who, I mean, has, you know, his first start for Petty, he came ever so close finishing second. He is always a contender at these Super Speedway races. It's going to be interesting to see if they're willing to help each other out. Plus, we know, Colin, that this is one of those races where manufacturer is everything. Ford, Chevy, Toyota, they all want to win these Super Speedway races badly, especially the Daytona 500. So when you got a case of guys like Austin Dillon or Bubba Wallace, you know, now two different manufacturers, with Bubba Wallace entering another season at 2311, they're not going to give a whole lot of help when it comes to that last 100 miles. I mean, I'm sure everyone's going to dance and play nice for a little while, as they should. And again, you're right about the major speeds that you're talking about. You can't, I would hope, I shouldn't say can't, you should not attempt to get anyone back or continue a feud at Daytona. It's just not safe. It's just not right. I'm all for a good Matt Kenseth, Joey Logano moment, but that's only because it happens at Martinsville, and the likelihood of you hurting somebody is very, very minuscule. You can't do this at Daytona. One thing I do think we should touch on and go a little bit more in depth on, since we have a few minutes before we hit our picks. Denny Hamlin was upset this week, as we touched on for a moment, about the lack of practice time that Travis Pastrana and others are getting before they head into the quote-unquote big dance. What do you make of that? Should they be getting more practice time before we get down to the nitty-gritty of speed weeks? What do you make of Denny Hamlin's complaints? Obviously, he has a dog in this hunt, but I personally think he makes some good points. What say you?
Absolutely. I'll just take it to the IndyCar world, where for the Indy 500, you have – or any oval race, you have the orientation program for everybody. Even Johnson, Jimmy Johnson in 2021 and 2022 had to go through the rookie orientation program. Even though Johnson is a 7-time cup champion, it's different when you go to IndyCar. The speeds are different. The G-forces are different. The style of racing is completely different. For Pastrana mostly, who has raced in the Xfinity Series before. He has been to Daytona before. He just hasn't been there in a while. It'd be nice to have some sort of rookie orientation program for the Daytona 500, knowing that there are at least four people making their first Cup Series start at the Daytona 500. Having some sort of track time would greatly benefit them. But this is what we've seen ever since the COVID year, where teams in all three NASCAR divisions are getting less and less track time and using the first two stages of a race on most of the time as practice time, and then really gunning for it for the third stage. If Pastrana does make it, and, you know, Connor Daly do make it, as I predict they will, they're not going to be up front probably until lap 150, and then it's go time. Which we kind of I mean, in the grand scheme of things, yeah, them making the field brings more eyes, especially Pastrana and Daly, because they're from other motorsports realms. They bring a whole new set of eyes onto the sport that, you know, they won't really, we won't get for the rest of the year until we probably go to Wilkesboro. And then you have the old school fans coming back to say, hey, we're back at Wilkesboro. For them, not having track time, especially for, you know, the next gen car, they only get like 15 minutes of practice every single week. It's a detriment to the whole series as well. I hope things change, but, you know, we're at the end of the day, racing is a business and we're talking about money, money that frankly, Logan and I don't have. This is millions of dollar deals that we're making. And, you know, I think Denny Hamlin was right. He's an owner. He does have 2311, but he also drives for Joe Gibbs. So he gives both perspectives as an owner. Yeah, we may have a dog in a fight, but having practice time, at least just an hour, just to shake the car down, in theory, would make the race better than not having practice time at all, because everyone makes their cars a little better. You can find speed, and, you know, a winner could potentially come out of that 15 to an hour minute of practice time. Whereas if you have no practice time, we talked about it last week with Kyle Busch, and now his statistically, he's been on a decline ever since the COVID year because he's had no practice time. So I think NASCAR needs to revamp this. Hopefully in 2024, coming back to Daytona, I would say hopefully we get at least two or three practice sessions coming out of it.
You know, I was personally hoping myself that, especially now with, you know, COVID is still around, of course it's going to be around, but overall, as far as controlling our lives, those days are over, thank God. I was hoping that we'd get back to constant practice sessions and things like that, because frankly, even from a sports standpoint, that's something you can sell as we enter the era of they're about to negotiate media rights and TV deals. That's more content at, you know, practice sessions. All right, maybe it's not a huge garner, but what is garnering a huge audience at a Wednesday at 5 or whatever it may be? So that's more content to sell to for media rights. So I was hoping that we'd get back to the world of seeing 1, 2, sometimes even 3 practices before a race. We are getting back to seeing practice. Don't get me wrong. We do usually at least have 1 now. I think there was only 2 races last year where there wasn't any practice before the qualifying session. And I think that was Talladega, if I'm not mistaken. That's off the top of my head, so pardon me if I'm wrong. Of course, when it comes to Travis Pastrana, his last time in a stock car is, you know, you're talking about Xfinity in 2013. He has ran a sprinkling of 5 truck races over the last 10 years. I kind of agree with Denny Hamlin, and I'm not a big Denny Hamlin guy, but I think there's just a certain unfairness especially when you're trying to get the best field possible for the Daytona 500. Look, I think you got to give guys like Travis Pastrana and frankly Jimmy Johnson a practice session. This is going to be other than a quick practice session at Phoenix about a month ago now. This is going to be the first time Jimmy Johnson has driven this car. We know how different, well, I shouldn't say we know, but we've heard in great detail how different this car is from the last gen car. I think that's a bit of an unfair advantage, if you will. It doesn't exactly invite people like Jimmy Johnson or other open cars to come on in and take a shot at it, because the reason we see starting probably at Auto Club likely the field shrink down to what is usually just 36 cars is because if you don't make the show, there's not a whole lot of money in it for you. Well, we could at least invite those cars to come on in. We'll give you a practice session. We'll give you this. We'll give you that to give you an honest to God fair shake at making the big show. I do. I think that it's a mistake to not have another practice session again, especially when you've already lost out on the Clash for Speed Weeks. Why not another practice session to sell to people and sell to fans? To just because when you've had 2 long months of not having cars on the track, look, the more the better, baby, as far as I'm concerned, when you sit through what felt like the longest offseason of recent memory. But that's just my humble opinion, and, you know, that's your opinion. And let us know throughout the week on our Racing Refresh socials. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, the whole nine. Let us know what you think. Should there be practice? And who, in your view, is going to miss the Daytona 500? Again, two cars out of those six open are going home. So with that, it's time for, cue it up for me, Peggy, Racing Refresh Picks. My goodness, the graphics look wonderful. I'm going to bring in our show creator, Adam Carbine, to really explain how these Racing Refresh Picks are going to go this season. It's not the same old thing. If you watch previous incarnations of this show, it's a little different this time around on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Adam, talk to us about it.
Well, if you guys know anything about me, you know that I like stats. I have a bit of an obsessive personality. And so, yeah, this is going to be a little complicated. Maybe it's going to sound complicated, at least at first. But it really is pretty straightforward. So the four of us, Colin, Logan, myself, and also producer Peggy, are each going to have a pick each week of who we think is going to win the upcoming race. So for Daytona 500... that's what we're picking for this week. You cannot pick the same driver as someone else. So that's important. And you cannot pick a driver more than once over the course of the season. So there are 36 charters for NASCAR Cup Series, and there are 36 races. So it should work out that we all get to pick every driver at least once. So be strategic where you want to pick your favorite drivers or who you think is going to do well. The picking order for our first week, because there's nothing prior to this week to bank on, is just completely random. I had the Wheel of Death, which you don't have to see it, but I had the Wheel of Death pick our starting order here. And after that, though, after each subsequent week, the order in which your driver finishes, that's going to go reverse for the following week's picks. Does that make sense? So whoever loses at Daytona out of the four of us gets to pick first next week. So it's not all doom and gloom. It should be all right. So the Wheel of Death did pick producer Peggy to start us off, make our first ever Racing Refresh picks pick. Peggy, what do you got?
Well, I went with the easy one. I went with the no-brainer, Mr. Dennis Hamlin.
Excellent choice, yeah. Ooh. Colin's not pleased.
She's come for blood, folks. She's come for blood. Mm.
Good job, Peggy. If you want to leave, you can now. That's all right.
For as kind and sweet as she is, as you can tell, folks, she's one of the most competitive individuals I've ever come across. Ruthless. And she gets that started by literally cutting us off at the knees. Thanks.
Random generator.
At the end of the season, this game will be mine.
Okay. She's incredibly competitive, and I'm damn near scared after the way she looked into the camera like that. But she's got beautiful blue eyes. So,
Adam. I'm inclined to believe her. I think she might actually win this.
Adam.
I forgot to mention, sorry, that whoever has the driver that finishes the best at Daytona, you get 1 point. All the rest of us get zero. So you just either win or you lose. So, yeah, we'll keep that going throughout the season and see who the grand winner is at the end of the year. So, yeah, the Wheel of Death picked me next. And producer Peggy is up to her antics again. I am going to go with Bubba Wallace for the day.
Oh, 100. My God. Kill him.
I know. Colin's mad because he got the Wheel of Death picked him last. So it's okay, Colin. There's 36 weeks. There's a lot of time. I think, you know, Bubba's really good at the super speedways. And I think he could be, you know, he could be a dark horse 500 pick here. I don't know. Let's see. Wheel of Death picks Logan next.
Look, what a story that would be if Bubba Wallace were to win the Daytona 500. I mean, that would be incredible. Look, I'm going to help my boy out a little bit. I'm going to help Colin out just a hair. I'm going to go with a guy pretty good at super speedways, but someone that isn't thought about a whole lot, especially right now. I'm going to go with Brad Kay of Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing. I think he's very underrated on Super Speedways. We've seen his success at Talladega. We saw his success, especially with Team Penske. I think he opens up the year in a big way for RFK. We shall see. I'm going to take Brad K. Colin Best, I believe that means the will of death or destiny or whatever it may be, picked you last.
You know, as the IndyCar guy, I would be remiss if I did not pick Connor Daly, but I want to win because he's not even a guaranteed start for the Daytona 500. But I'm going to say this man has no fear of leaving his teammate. He did it last year to young Ryan Blaney. Give me number two, Austin Cindric, going back to back at the Daytona 500.
I like what you did there with the dice, and you're rolling it, thinking Austin Cindric going back to back. That is quite.
Got a new desk, and I'm at my girlfriend's, fiance's place, and there's just dice everywhere. It's mm-hmm. like playing a D&D over here. Yeah. I don't know what she does, but when I'm not here, but I got a dice. So, yeah, and I also got. And Logan, you sent me flowers. You're such a sweetheart.
Look, hey, it's Valentine's Day is coming up, and I just want to make sure that you're treated right. Anywho, all right. So that's our four picks, racing refresh picks. And so you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen. That means we've come to the end of another lovely episode of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. And as a tribute to the OG, it's time to hit it with a little closing time. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. All right, producer Peggy, come on back in here for closing time now. Oh, look at you. Yeah. She's just way better looking than you guys are. That's why I had
to. Also, Logan, Valentine's Day was yesterday.
Colin got his flowers from Logan, but maybe we better continue this conversation off air. I don't want to subject the viewer, the one viewer we have to this fight that's about to happen. So,
well, I mean, we can celebrate Valentine's Day any other day, any other that. Why are we picking just silly random days? Who in the world decided that was Valentine's Day? All right.
Logan's going with the half price flowers on the 15th. You know,
absolutely. Look, those chocolates might be a little stale, but damn it, I'm a man on the budget. Anywho, it's closing time, so it's time to get to our final words, our final thoughts. Who wants to start us off?
Literally, no one.
Colin's having a moment with his flowers over there. But
I'll go first.
Fantastic! Go first. Don't all talk at once, Colin.
Can you give me the full screen, baby? Give me that full screen. Make me. There you go. Thank you. So as you see below, my Twitter headline's at the Colin Best because I am the best. But I'm also the senior open wheel writer for RacingRefresh.com, and coming on Friday will be my definitive IndyCar series preview. It's everything you need to know. Everything you need to know about the Indianapolis IndyCar season for 2023. But also next week, stay tuned. I have the definitive F1 2023 list, and that will carry us all the way to open wheel season that starts both March 5th for St. Pete and the Grand Prix of Bahrain. So next, I'll kick it to whoever wants to step up. I'll play with my pretty little flowers. Over here, just these are fake, by the way, Logan. You sent me fake flowers. How dare you?
I am cheap, and you said the term St. Pete, so I can't think of a better person to go next than our producer, Peggy, who I call St. Peter. What's your final words there, Peggy?
I just can't wait to kick all your asses in this game.
All right, nobody told me I'd be swore at, for God's sake. Yeah. Glad this doesn't air on a Sunday. Defending the Christian community. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what, we gotta bleep her. All right, so that's your final words, an ominous threat with a swear. Fantastic. Anywho, in that case, Adam Carabine, the show creator, the man you can follow at Race Me Fresh, what's your final words? Hopefully it's not swearing at me.
No, I won't swear at you, Logan. I'll save that for after the show is finished taping here.
Well, but, duck me.
No, I just was going to say, looking forward to Daytona. Can't wait. I'm so excited it's here. And also on the site this week, we're finally finishing the countdown to Daytona series, which has been going on for the last 72 days, just about, or well, it will be 72 at the end of it all. So part of me will be very glad to move on from that and get back into real racing for points. And I think that's it. Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Have a good week.
Look, you as well. Happy Speed Weeks, ladies and gentlemen. And look, I got to close this down. I got to tell you, Adam, I'm not necessarily thrilled about your pick system because I was planning on just showing Legacy Motor Club a lot of love throughout the year. I mean, I was going to do a little Jimmy. I was going to do a little Noah. I was going to do a little Eric. You know, it was going to be like Mambo number 5 in here. But instead, you came up with this weird, weird pick system. And now I can't do that. So Brad K is going to get some love from me. I'll go have a Hawaiian roll after this show. Anywho, thank you so much for taking the time to watch any of this show. Hopefully the whole hour, I would hope so. Follow us on Twitter. Follow Adam on Twitter, at Racing Newfresh. Follow us on Facebook. Give it a like. Give it a share, please. We want to grow this thing. We can only do it as much as you will allow us. So, and remember, by the way, in case you haven't heard, I and Colin, we're going to get on shortly after Daytona, an hour or two afterwards, so you can get a beverage and do your thing. And we're going to break down what we just saw with Daytona, where hopefully you will be driving the conversation. We're going to be live in a living cover, and it's going to be more handsome than anyone else that's ever sitting in this chair. So with that, thank you. Follow us on social media, please. Thank you so much, and we'll see you at the next track.